Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Bill here in the studio, Drew at the controls. Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser going to be joining me in hour number two. He's got had some things he had to take care of here in the first hour, so he'll join us for hour two. Today, a very important day as far as preseason football practice concerned. It was the first day in pads. And full pads for Auburn, and we got to see more than we expected to see there. About a 35-40 minute viewing window over at the practice facility at the Walt. But what was unusual was after the team goes through, we get to go in and they're inside and they're warming up and just getting ready for practice. They ran out on the field, and as soon as they went out on the field, they lined up 11-on-11, and it was very interesting because it looked like it. I mean, they went and worked in groups just for a period, but then the whistle blew. The clock stopped. The clock's usually counting down for. However many minutes in a period, it's like a 5-minute period, whatever. But the clock stopped at 4:54, and Alex Golish called the team over, and they broke and they lined up 11-on-11, and they basically did a little quick scrimmage work 11-on-11 right there at the beginning of practice, and very early on. Let's see, first play was a run, second play. That was stuffed by Xavier Atkins. Second play, slant. I couldn't tell from where I was. I was back behind them. Couldn't tell, if it was a. Some folks said it was a really good defensive play. I really couldn't tell. I was trying to figure out who all was in there lining up. It was basically guys that you're going to see, if not all starters. It was players that are either starters or on the two deep that were in there. As a matter of fact, the offense was pretty much the starting offense with Byron Brown at quarterback, Jeremiah Cobb at running back. Your receivers were Chaz Nimrod, Keyshawn Singleton, and Jeremiah Coger. So you had three USF guys at receivers. Arliss Boardingham was the tight end. And, just over the last couple of days, we've heard a good bit about Arliss, about how being healthy, he's really coming on the last couple of days. So he was out there with the first group. And then the starting offensive line was four of the five that we have seen out there running with the ones from day one. With Joe Simmons at left tackle, Cole Best at center, Cole Skinner at right guard, Stanton Ramil at right tackle. But it was Jacob Strand, who we've seen working a lot at left tackle and then practicing some with the guards, but he was out there at left guard. So now I don't feel like that necessarily means he's moved ahead of Derek Plaz. I just think they wanted to see him with the ones. And that could be a situation with a couple of the other guys that were out there. And we'll get into some of the other players that we saw, lining up with different groups out there today. But anyway, to what we saw, it was, again, some scrimmage work. And on the third play, an absolutely perfect pass from Byron Brown to Jeremiah Coger. It was third and long, So it was probably about a 15-yard pass. Again, from my angle back behind it, I couldn't tell. It would have been enough for the first down as Coger went up and made an outstanding play on the ball, but a perfect pass thrown only where he could catch it as Coger, using his height, went up over Gavin Jenkins, who is a long corner that we talked about yesterday here on the drive. But Coger went up, made the catch, came down, and then was able to head down the sidelines for a 60-plus yard touchdown. So, I mean, the place went nuts, and then the media was moved all down to the end where I was. But it was crazy because it looked as though the players were surprised that they were doing that, and it looked like the assistants were surprised that they were doing that. I think Alex Golish just decided, hey, let's line everybody up here and do a little quick scrimmage work here at the beginning. And I think that sort of set the tone while we were there, just an awful lot of energy. We got to watch again for about 35 or 40 minutes. We'll run down the some of the other guys that were out there working with the ones and twos. Had no idea. Definitely got some help from some of the media that was there on the side watching it. They were over there to the side and were able to tell them, who the first team, the first 11 defensive players were. Had no idea because, I mean, they're on the opposite end of the practice facility, and it was there was a serious amount of glare. Man, it was hot, too. What another really, really hot day. And, man, if you've looked at the weather, it's only going to get hotter as we head up toward the weekend. I mean, it's going to be around triple digits for the high, not the heat index. So, I mean, it was brutal out there at 9:30 this morning and just getting hotter. But here are the guys. So they did a couple of more series and ran the twos in as well. But after a couple of series, then broke down and went back to position work. And I was watching some of the O-line and D-line as well. But here are the guys that were out there first defensively. I mentioned who was there on offense. On defense, I thought it was really interesting. You had both Jared Smith and Deshaun Womack at the ends. And it appeared that Deshaun was the buck, the rush in, and Jared was the strong defensive end. Interior, it was Dallas Walker, as you would expect, at the nose, and Walter Mathis, a sophomore transfer from LSU that we've talked about here over the last few days, was out there. Now, I don't take that to mean that Cody Sigler is not going to be the starter. I would be shocked if Cody Sigler is not the starter there at defensive tackle. But I think that's a credit to Walter Mathis and how he's practiced this fall, that he was out there with that first group there at defensive tackle. The linebackers, Xavier Atkins and Elijah Melendez. The corners, I mentioned Gavin Jenkins, who made a good play, but Jeremiah Coger just made a better one. The other corner was Blake Woodby, and again, I think that is to look at those guys working with the ones, because they're going to have to be used with the ones if they aren't starters. I think everyone expects Andre Jordan to be a starter at corner, and Rayshon Pleasant is a guy who has more experience at the other corner. But I think this is, it's an opportunity. You want to mix and match. You want to see how some of the younger guys respond when they're out there with the ones going against the ones. So it was Gavin Jenkins and Blake Woodby at the corner. The secondary, you had Fred Gaskin at one safety, Sylvester Smith Reed was the other safety, and that's right. Just wanted to let everybody know he is Sylvester Smith Reed now. That's Smith-Reed at the other safety, and the nickel or star was Champ Anthony. Champ also worked some at corner, as you know, we've heard coaches talking about his ability to play multiple positions. That's something that they really value highly. And we talked about Tim Banks yesterday, the co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach, talking about how he wants six guys there at those three safety positions, the two safeties and that star or nickel, and that he feels like those guys can and should be able to, you know, switch any of those three positions. So that's the way it started today defensively. I mean, really the only big play that we saw there in that short period of time, I guess there weren't but about, maybe 10, 12 plays or so run before they went back to regular practice, was that the touchdown from Byron Brown to Jeremiah Coger. Few guys that were out there but not in full gear today. I mean, we saw Jonathan Echols, and that's maybe another reason why you saw Arliss Boardingham out there at tight end. Was Jonathan Echols was on a bike earlier today. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some of the other guys that that were banged up or not in full pads. Nate Johnson. I mentioned Deshaun Womack and Jared Smith there at the outside on the defensive line. Nate Johnson was on an exercise bike as well. Nekai Davenport didn't go through all of the workouts. And Caleb Harris and Newboy Fagans were a couple of other guys. So, I mean, Auburn very fortunate they're as deep as they are back there at the safety spot. So those are just some of the highlights as we were watching there. But I think it's interesting that Jacob Strand was getting work there with the first team at guard, that we saw Arliss Boardingham there at tight end. Walter Mathis, Buddy is what they call him. So Buddy Mathis there at defensive tackle. So some guys I think that have performed well enough early on here in practice to be getting looks with the first unit. All right, we had a chance to talk with running backs coach Larry Porter and Omar Mabson. Omar, by the way, today in those couple of series that we saw, Tay Meadows was the number two back today, and I think that's something you'll hear Larry Porter in a little while when we play some audio from him. You'll hear him talking about how Tay has really come on here the last few practices as well. I think that's just an opportunity to look at him because there's, again, we continue to just hear and see with our own eyes how impressive young Omar Mabson is. We talked with him today, but one of the drills we were watching today is they had one of the sleds out there for the running backs to be trying to push. And it was obviously, I think somebody said it was like a 350-pound sled. And the running backs were struggling to try to really get under it and push it, except for Omar. My goodness. I mean, when I saw him line up, I mean, he got under and pushed it 10 yards easily. I mean, just legs churning and pushed it 10 yards. The next back, and I won't say which one it is, just for them. I mean, the next guy got there and was like stoned. I mean, just like stonewalled by it. He was up too high and couldn't get any leverage and just was like running in place. And it was interesting. Omar's telling him, get low, that he had to get his shoulders lower. And, you know, with a little encouragement, he did and was able to push it, but not with near the ease that Omar and none of the other backs that I saw were able to have that kind of impact on it. And I thought it was interesting when somebody asked Omar, when we were talking to him for a few minutes after practice, what he felt he'd improve the most on. It was the thing that Alex Golish had praised him the most on this spring. He said he feels like he's really improved his pass protection even more. Remember, Golish back in the spring said that Omar was the best pass protector of the running backs, but yeah, we've got audio. We'll let you hear from Larry Porter, from Jacob Bronowski, who is the special teams coach. They worked on special teams today. We weren't out there when this happened, but everyone was talking about Alex McPherson kicking a 57-yard field goal with room to spare today, and that's great to hear. And we also got to talk to Coach Bronowski about, you know, who his return guys are right now. So that's something we'll let you hear as well. And we've got some players that we've got audio from as well. I've got Tim Banks from yesterday as well. We talked a little bit about what Coach Banks had to say, the co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach. We'll let you hear what he had to say. Well, Larry Porter, Jacob Bronowski, we'll give you a few more of the highlights from practice today. Again, hour number one, love to hear from you. Adam Cole will be in for the second hour, so we'll run some audio here in the first hour, and would love for you to join in as well. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, as we're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening
to ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill here in the studio. Adam Cole is going to be joining me for hour number two. Drew is at the controls, as we mentioned today. First day in pads, and there was it was pretty lively. We didn't get to see. I mean, we saw that scrimmaging there early on. We know that they did some more scrimmaging late. Players were talking about that, and man, they seemed genuinely excited that they were able to get out there and actually really hit each other. So scrimmage, first scrimmage of the preseason is coming up Friday. There'll be another practice tomorrow. We'll have an opportunity to get out there again tomorrow and watch some of that. So we'll, of course, update you on how things look on day two. But day one, we got a chance to talk post-practice with a guy who's one of the more fortunate coaches on this team because of the quality and experience in his room, and that is running backs coach Larry Porter, back at Auburn for a second time. And of course, return Jeremiah Cobb, a near 1,000-yard rusher from a year ago. You bring in Bryson Washington, who was Baylor's top running back a year ago. Nekai Davenport comes along with Alex Golish from South Florida after being their number one running back. And then Tay Meadows was the number one running back at Troy. And then, of course, Omar Mapson has been one of the talks of preseason. And then we also heard a little about Alvin Henderson today as well, and looked at him, watched him a little bit today. And man, that what an impressive room Auburn has there at running back. So thought we'd let you hear some of the comments from Auburn's running backs coach, Larry Porter.
Good, how are you?
I'm well.
How was the first day out there at pads?
It was spirited. Obviously some mistakes, but we could appreciate the intentional act with our players in terms of just being focused and putting themselves in position to truly try to thrive in the moment where it got a little tougher for them.
Well, AG said 3.5, Joel said 4, as far as backs that you'd like to have ready for the game. What do you feel about it now? How many do you think you're going to have?
I want the whole room. That's what I work for every single day. You got to coach the guy at the bottom of the roster just as hard as you coach the guy at the top of the roster. You know, obviously injuries happen, and you can't control that. So, again, the expectations is, and this is a place in which, and I'm talking Auburn, we grade the guys at the bottom of the roster no differently than we grade the guys at the top of the roster. So expectations are the same. And so as you push to try to grow your roster and find ways to get them guys to grow to become the best version of themselves, and hoping that at some point if they called upon, they're ready to roll. So that's just how I approach it. I understand, and I tell them all the time, like, it's tough to get 4, 5, 3 guys ready to play each week. So, you know, we have to operate in a way as well as in a space to where you have to assume that you're next. And so it's a starter mentality that you have to approach every day with. And we try to make sure that we hold to that standard.
Coach Omar has been highly talked about amongst a lot of people in this deep running back room. What have you seen out of him that just raises his potential to make this running back room even stronger this year?
I think what Omar brings is a presence to this team because he comes to work every single day. So there's no days off. There's no plays off. You know what you're getting every single day out of that kid. And as a coach, you can greatly appreciate that because that's the expectation of every guy on this team. So what you're hearing from the other coaches is a great appreciation for the way that he comes to work.
What's Larry, we have the special teams coach here. You mentioned Alvin Henderson, the guy who's standing out on special teams for him. Mm-hmm. What does it say about Alvin, a guy who may not be at the top of the running back list right now, but he's going to another unit in the North Carolina?
Well, credit to Coach J-Bro. He does a phenomenal job. But I tell those guys all the time, just based off of what we just got through talking about the depth chart, right? Well, again, you can't play 4, 5, 6 guys every game, but you can on special teams. So if you want a bus ticket, whether it's the running back room or special teams, you better fight to earn that every single day. And I encourage every guy in my room, from Cobb to whoever, to have a presence and make plays on special teams. And I think those guys have kind of welcomed that challenge and embraced it. And as a result, Alvin is, he made some plays out there today, but he knows, and not just him, but all of them knows that it's all about consistency, right? And if you did it once, you can do it again. In fact, you need to do it again in order to build trust with the coaches. So kudos to him.
What does Jeremiah bring to your room?
Obviously he's an experienced guy, which is what you need because there's no substitute for experience. And so he brings some experience from this league. I think he brings within his own personality some confidence, right, that we enjoy and appreciate and need as coaches.
Coach Bryson is a guy that's played some big-time football, but we haven't heard his name a ton so far. We've probably heard, Omar Madison's name more, things like that. How is Bryson doing? Where does he stack up? Is he where you would like him to be right now?
Right. So obviously we didn't see much of him in the spring because of injury, right? Yeah. So now that he's able to hit the grass, if you look at his first couple of days, you like what you saw. Obviously he's continuing to work, and I think as he gets more comfortable, you'll start to hear his name more.
What are the things that he brings that's different from the other guys? What do you like about him?
A lot like Jeremiah, right? He's an experienced running back with multiple reps and playing time underneath his belt. And in this world of transfer portal, you much rather have production than potential. He's had a ton of potential. And so that's what he brings to this room. But we got to put him in a position to where we can sell him in and get him going.
Coach Porter, you've coached a bunch of really good ones in your career, namely a couple really good evaluations, Davion Gause, Michael Carter. When you evaluate running backs, what really sticks out to you? Three things notably.
Well, for me, first and foremost, the first thing I try to identify is what makes them them. What makes you special, right? What makes you who you are? And then the second thing I try to evaluate is how do you fit in our room, right? How does your skill set fit in our room? And then the question I'm always asking is, who are you as good as or better than as it relates to our room? Because anybody that you put in your room, you try to upgrade the room with everybody that you put in there. So that's kind of the three things that I primarily, it serves as a foundation for this, as you start to recruit guys.
Do you ever factor in where they come from?
Well, obviously, winning programs, that's a big, big deal. You have to do your homework in this day and age. Whether it's the program, whether it's their work ethic, what kind of students they are, what kind of character they have, all those things play a part in it. But the first thing, can you elevate this room from a talent perspective? And then, you go to work from there. We have our recruiting department does a tremendous job. They're calling coaches all the time. They're calling counselors, just trying to do more research on these guys. So as we try to make decisions who fits us best, we have as much information as we can get.
Just want to ask about Tay Meadows. What have you seen from him so far?
Tay has done, again, another guy with a ton of experience, right? Production over potential, correct? And so he's brought that, and he's another guy that's doing extremely well in special teams and trying to just find really his role within this team right here. So we enjoy his energy. The thing that I will say about this room is I love the chemistry and continuity. These guys are not only just trying to understand what becoming Auburn men is all of becoming an Alderman is all about. They're also building a brotherhood. And I'm talking about life lessons, right? They're going fishing together. They're teaching each other, you know, how to fillet a fish. Then they're teaching each other how to cook fish, right? And they're also taking other cooking lessons from each other. And they spend a lot of time together. And they can be completely transparent with each other on any day. And they say some things to each other. I just look and say, wow. You know, but it's none of it is personal. And so I love that perspective and that feeling about the room within itself. And then, you know, obviously with that being said, we got to continue to push to put them in position to be better.
That is Auburn running backs coach Larry Porter talking with us today after the first day in pads. And again, I mentioned one of the guys who has been, you know, like gotten so much from the spring through the summer and into preseason practice is sophomore running back Omar Mabson, the Auburn High product. Graduated early from Auburn High. Should just be entering his freshman year right now, has gone through a year, and now has really caught the eye of everyone, coaches and players out there, with his work ethic as well as his talent. And we talked with him for a couple of minutes as well.
Question for Omar.
Well, Omar, just talk about how you feel here after the first day in pads.
I feel amazing. You know what I'm saying? We finally get contact. It's just a great feeling.
Your coach was saying there that there's a lot of chemistry that you guys have been developing, not just on the field, but, you know, outside of playing football. What are some of those things that you guys have been doing that you feel has improved just the room as a whole?
I say, like, as a whole, like, we like to go fishing, just being outdoors, and, you know, little stuff like that. And just, you know, just always being around each other. You know, like at the hotel, like, we always around each other. Like, we ride as a pack, you know. That's kind of how.
So you like the hotel?
It's bringing the connected piece. Like, you know, AG focused a lot about the connected piece. It's really bringing us all together.
Omar, you get to go against linebackers every day, and how'd that turn out?
So they get me better every day. Hey, they get me 1% better every day.
Omar, how does Jeremiah continue to make you a better player as that veteran mentor that is always coaching you day in, day out?
Just seeing like how he goes about things, you know, off the field and on the field, just, you know, just taking the little things from, you know, like from, you know, rehab, recovery, like just the little things, just, you know, just taking on the little things from.
Where do you think you've kind of grown the most from last year to now?
I'll probably say probably in my pass protections, you know, just being able to ID the fronts better, just ID defenses better. And also just my recovery mindset, like being a freshman, you know, not kind of having an idea of what real recovery looks like. But since then, it's been way better.
How much did you learn from last year, just kind of being thrown into the fire as a really young guy, specifically in pass protection? So how much was that, how important was that game experience for you?
I feel like it was crucial. You know, the only way that you can learn things is to experience things, you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, I think that was crucial for me to learn and get better each and every day.
So, Omar, we heard a few guys that said, look, Byron's different even than he was in the spring. Have you seen a different Byron Brown so far in this camp?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Hey, he going. He that one.
How exciting is it to have a quarterback like that you guys go, hey, that's our guy?
That's amazing. Just, again, on the field, impressive. But off the field, just impressive as well. Like, just, you know, just being that leader, being like kind of a role model, you know, just a guy you can look up to.
Anything else?
Yep, that's Omar Mabson. And that didn't do credit to that last question that Jason asked. I mean, the look and the smile on Omar Mabson's face when he was asked about when Jason said, you know, word is that Byram's gotten even better. And Omar just sort of, I mean, gave a big smile and said, yeah, he's the one. The guys are in great moods right now. Obviously, look, you haven't done anything but had one day in pads. They haven't gone up against anybody. But I've really been impressed with the energy, the pace of things in practice, and just the enthusiasm of everybody here in practice as they get closer to that first scrimmage on Friday. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got to, we'll talk special teams and more. We've got some audio there as well. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, as we head into the second half of hour number one here on the Wednesday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill here in the studio, Drew at the controls. Again, Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser will be joining us here for hour number two. So we'll get his thoughts, insights on what he saw today and has seen here over the last few days at Auburn preseason football practice. It was the first day in pads today, and we talked a little bit about they did a little scrimmaging there at the outset. As I said, I couldn't really see the defense as well for a couple of reasons. One, they have on white jerseys, and they were a long way from where I was. Gave you the rundown of who was out there first, and in the second group, the one thing that I did notice is there were a lot Auburn went heavy on the defensive line the second time out. It appeared that Cody Sigler and Darian Smith were on the outside with Malik Autry and Jordan Crawford on the inside. That's four guys that generally work inside that were all out there together, and they were going against a second offense. Much easier to spot those guys when they've got on blue jerseys with white numbers, and also when they've got their backs to you, it's a whole lot easier as well. But Tristan Tia was the quarterback. Mentioned that Tay Meadows got some work there along with Bryson Washington, while Omar Mabson, who has drawn so much praise, actually just sort of watched because it's been Jeremiah and Omar getting the bulk of the work there. So good to hear that Bryson Washington's out there. Apparently it wasn't an injury why he missed practice the other day. The tight ends were Jake Johnson, who's been generally the first guy out there at tight end, but he and Xavier Newsom were the tight ends. And the receivers, Deshaun Spencer, who has been with the ones as much as anybody. But again, today Jeremiah Coger getting that shot just on that quick opener. Along with Brian Williams and Sam Turner. The offensive line this time had Parker Pritchett, youngster at left tackle, with Derek Plaz ceding to Jacob Strand early on. So Plaz was with the second unit. Cale Ellis, who of course got a couple of starts at center last year, was the center. Jacoby Ward, man, very impressive redshirt freshman, was at right guard. And Wilson Zierer, who is a very impressive true freshman, at right tackle. So that's the group that we saw out there. Again, don't take too much from who was running with that first and second group, especially when they just got them out there really quickly and did a couple of quick series of scrimmaging. So I don't think it's because anybody who we had been saying has been on the first team has been demoted. I think it's just an opportunity to look at some of those other guys with the ones. Something we had not seen, and we know they worked on today, was special teams. And we had an opportunity to talk with the special teams coordinator, Jacob Bronowski, who's another energetic. My goodness, both Hudson Cock and Hudson Powell, the snapper, and the Hudsons today, if you will, both talked about how fiery and energetic their special teams coach is. Of course, Hudson Powell was there with Jacob Bronowski last year, but we had a chance to talk with the special teams coach today about his units and learn a little bit about some of the return guys as well.
Amazing. What we got?
Talking about today. What happened?
Good day today. Good block. So special teams wise, we kind of break it up into the blocks. No different than offense and defense. My biggest challenge to the guys is effort and technique. You know, we kind of built that foundation during spring ball and then throughout the summer. And now what we're starting to see is some guys are starting to separate themselves and some guys are starting to go this way. Obviously, the objective is that we get everybody climbing in the right direction. But the one thing that's been constant that I'm really, really proud of our guys is how freaking hard they're competing and going about their business every single day. It's infectious to be around. It creates energy. It creates momentum. That's what we expect from our special teams units on game days.
Who's working at punt returner for you?
So Christian Neptune's done a really nice job. He's developed a lot of consistency. And again, he's earned that because of the way that he's worked all really through his injury and every other day this summer. He's doing a really nice job communicating. Bryce Kane's also been doing a good job. And then old Sean, you know, freshman, I know he's been kind of brought up a bunch. He continues to just grow every single day. So we got a good competition back there between those guys.
How about kick return? Who
else? Oh, it's Rayshon Pleasant. Yeah, absolutely. Rayshon Pleasant. I mean, he's a stud back there. And, you know, the guys know that, which is always huge. When they know how much of a dude's back there, they strain just a little bit longer, hold their blocks a little bit longer, do their jobs. Kind of creates that buy-in so that unit can go out there and be explosive, and it all starts with him, obviously.
This Alex, you're seeing him as he continues to progress, and having a guy like Connor as potentially a kickoff guy, how valuable is it to have a couple guys?
Man, that's a good one. I mean, that's huge. Like, to have, obviously, experience at both in case whatever could happen. Right, you have Connor, who's done it at a high level. And then, obviously, we all know what Alex McPherson is. He's a stud. He continues to prove that every single day. And, you know, I tell a lot of people all the time, I couldn't be happier for him after the journey that he's gone through. For me as a coach to have the opportunity to be here with him in this moment right now and see him have the best season of his career, I mean, I can't wait to watch that.
You worked with some really good ones before.
That's right.
What do you see out of him that makes him that kind of guy as well?
That mental edge. You know, I think every single good one I've been around has one thing in common, and it's a mental edge. Like, they're competitive. You know, I think kickers sometimes get labeled as, you know, they're not football players, whatever it is. The best ones I've been around have that same edge that no different than a starting safety has. Like, they want to go out there and they want to rip somebody's throat out. Right? It just looks a little bit different in their craft. But Alex has that, you know. Make no mistake about it, I know he's got a good smile at SEC Media Day, but he wants to go out there and be the best in the world, and that's what makes him really special.
What have you seen from Hudson Cock, you know, during camp? Where have you seen him improve, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, Hudson, number one, Hudson led the SEC in fair catches forced, so he's done a great job there. But the number one thing I've seen him grow in is the fact that he's developed a great process, right? And that took some time. And it's not to his fault, because ultimately you look at our specialist room, like whether it's him or Alex, they've played for a lot of special teams coordinators, so there hasn't been a whole lot of continuity for those guys. So for us to come in and for him to kind of blindly buy into us and see, like, hey, I got to go about things this way and take ownership in that, I think you're starting to see this camp, like there's more pop in his leg, his ball speed's been up, his locations have been up where we need them to be. So I'm really excited where he's at right now. And then for him, like, he sees the unit. Like, he sees our punt, full cover punt reps, and our best players are flying down there with some really violent, evil intentions. And that makes him want to do his job a little bit more there, too.
Know for young guys, special teams is always a chance to maybe get on the field. Any right. Young guys that caught your eye that maybe have a chance to help you on the field?
Yeah, number one is Scrap. You guys will see Scrap. He's incredible. Competitive as heck. Scrap Richardson, sorry. He's competitive as crap, faster than heck. He's just an awesome kid, too. He wants to get better every single day. Alvin Henderson's another one that's actually stacked a lot of good days here, which I know is exciting for a lot of people in the state to hear. So I'm really excited for him. When the lights have come on so far in our compete days, he's responded in the right way that you want to see. So those are the two main ones for sure. There's obviously some decent linebackers and safeties. You know, Wayne Henry's another one. Tay Meadows, not really a young guy, but he's new here. So there's a lot of guys that are in the fold right now, which makes you really happy as a special teams coordinator.
Coach, talking about Hudson's ball placement, how confident are you that he can flip the field on game days?
Very extremely confident. You know, at the end of the day, this is SEC football, and that's his job, and he knows that. And but I'm extremely confident in that. Like, the consistency piece for him, because of his process being the right way, it has been really remarkable to watch, and I can't wait for him to go out there and show that, you know, that first Saturday.
And Alex at Media Day said he could hit from 60 in. Do you feel confident about that?
Absolutely.
Or what are you seeing from him?
Absolutely. No, I mean, depending on the day, it might be a little bit longer. It's something about me. Like, you know, he just earned that right. You know, I'm a confident coach, and I'm confident because of him. So we'll see what it is on game days, but, you know, we're going to cut it loose.
As a special teams coach, how much do you appreciate having a safety room?
talent that you have, linebacker room like you have. How helpful is that for the company?
It makes me the happiest guy in the world, to be honest with you. You know, and not to mention like our defensive staff. You have DJ Durkin, who's an elite special teams coordinator. You have Coleman Hutzer, who's an elite special teams coordinator. So the buy-in collectively, like I say it all the time, it takes an army to be elite on special teams. You have it from the coaching staff. And then you look at the depth in the linebacker room, in the safety room, and just the way that they're producing. And that's our best players, too. You know, when you watch our special teams periods, you watch our drills, the best players are constantly producing the best film. And so that's infectious for those other guys. Like, man, I got to step up my game. And that's what makes it really, really special. It makes it awesome to coach every single day.
Yeah, some interesting comments there from Auburn special teams coordinator Jake Bernowski. I mean, something you may not have realized. You think about it. Yes, DJ Durkin has been a special teams coordinator. Coleman Hutzler, who is the edge rushers, the defensive ends coach, has been a special teams coordinator. So they understand the importance of it. And we've talked about it. I mean, the talent and depth that Auburn has in young linebackers and safeties has just that's something that you could tell Coach was really excited about having those guys to be able to go down. And he started off, you know, talking about defensive backs. He didn't mention running back Tay Meadows, who we talked about got a little work as well in the scrimmage today. So that's our first opportunity to really talk and find out some information about special teams. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Again, Adam Cole will be joining me in hour number two. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Wednesday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one here of the Wednesday Drive. Man, I looked out the window a couple minutes ago and it was just pouring. I mean, the sun was shining and it was pouring. So, that's just the way it is this time of year. It gets so hot, it just sort of builds up the pressure, and here it goes. But yeah, it's going to be hot for the rest of the week while football practice continues. We're getting closer. I mean, high school football just days away, and you know, we've got the weekend after next, we'll have, you know, college football. And, I mean, you've already got NFL exhibition football. Auburn had its first day in pads today. You know, one thing that we were talking about the other day was Alex Golish was asked about the possibility of adding anyone now that that court in Colorado said that all players who had a fifth year of eligibility that had only played 4 years and been out of high school for 4 years would have an extra year of eligibility. Wondered, you know, Alex Golish was asked about that, and we'd speculated. The only player that even, you know, made sense at this point when you get this close and you're starting practice would be somebody who was familiar with either DJ Durkin or Alex Golish. And Trayvon Mitchell was a defensive lineman at South Florida last year. Got really good at rushing the passer, putting pressure on the quarterback from the interior on defense. And he had entered the portal but was denied a fifth year of eligibility by the NCAA. So it appeared that he might be a possibility. Well, he has indeed found a landing spot. It will not, and he will be in Atlanta for the opening game, but he will not be an Auburn Tiger. He is a Baylor Bear. So Trayvon Mitchell is going to Baylor, where it looks like he could step right in and be a starter. I mean, they really, really needed help on the defensive front. So Trayvon Mitchell could very well be a starter there and be going against, you know, his former head coach in the opening game in Atlanta on September the 5th. Meanwhile, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has sent a memo to everyone, to all SEC teams, about being very careful with adding fifth-year players that are looking for that extra year of eligibility. reminding them that they have to operate under eligibility rules, existing NCAA rules, interpretations, and applicable league rules. Sort of like, be very careful before you add somebody looking for that fifth year. So we'll see. But I think Auburn's set, especially now. I mean, you get this deep, and I would think you'd really have to have a special case to be adding someone at this point. We're halfway done here on the Wednesday Drive. Adam Cole of the Advertiser going to join me in hour number two. Hope you will as well. We're right back with the second hour of the show, so come on in.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Well, it was, it was raining like 30 seconds ago. Now it's bright sunshine, so it's steam. So there's no telling. I just talked to my wife across town, and nope, hadn't rained over there. So it is that it's summertime. It is late summer. It is hot. It is humid, and it is fall football. And it was first day in pads today over on campus as. Auburn started the full hitting, and Adam Cole of the Montgomery Advertiser joining us here in the second hour. First of all, how you doing, man?
Doing good. I wish it didn't decide to just rain for that little bit of time and the few minutes before I got here, and as I needed to get out of the car.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm doing pretty good. It was a pretty good day, pretty busy day. I think with the morning we had and a little excitement
mm-hmm. early on, more than I think anybody expected. We get a chance to see a little actually scrimmage work right there almost at the very beginning of practice.
I think everybody was surprised. Did you see how fast Taylor Bryan was running up and down the sideline to get everybody corralled? Yeah.
Some of the coaches looked mm-hmm. surprised. I mean, it was like that's just something that Alex Golish decided, hey, let's see what we got here right now.
Yeah, no, and it was I don't know. You finally got to see it, and on top of that, I mean, there were some pretty impressive plays too. I mean, I know you and I were standing next to each other when Jeremiah Koger mm-hmm. made that catch. I was admittedly writing a rotation down in my notebook, and I did not realize what was going on until you said something. But Nathan King described it to me as Randy Moss equivalent.
I mean, it was a great throw because mm-hmm. it was thrown where only he was going to get it. I mm-hmm. mean, even though it was really good coverage, I thought. By Gavin Jenkins. I mean, and Gavin Jenkins is not a little guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a long corner. Mm-hmm. But Koger went up and plucked it, and then he burst yeah. down the sideline.
That's hopefully we get another one of those tomorrow yeah. morning because I'd like to see one of those with my own two eyes. I'm kicking myself for that. But no, definitely good to see. Were you – how much of those rotations did you write down? And
as much as I could. I could not – I mean, from where we were mm-hmm. – I couldn't see who all the defenders were, you know, with white jerseys and being on the back side. You know, we're looking at the back of the offensive guys. Mm-hmm. I got a pretty good idea of who was out there the first bunch. Second bunch, I got the offense, but mm-hmm. I couldn't get the defense of the second yeah. group.
It's always just I wish I had two sets of eyes yeah. kind of thing. But no, I thought it was Buddy Mathis was in on the opening rotation right. on defense, which was that's I think a positive to see because that's one of those names where
yeah, because I there's no way I think Cody Sigler has mm-hmm. you know. Is losing his job.
Right. I think that'd be a little more apparent at this point if it was that matter. But, you know.
Because he's always still the first guy out there mm-hmm. on all the defensive line drills.
Yeah, but I wonder, I don't know. I guess we are talking to Vontrell tomorrow, but right. I wonder, you know, I wonder what the progress report will be on Buddy Mathis.
You know, I mean, somebody had told me yesterday, and I forgot who it was I was talking to, just one of the observers, somebody who's been watching, said, man, they like the look of number 10 out there. And mm-hmm. then that is him. That's Buddy Mathis. who, you know, is a young transfer from LSU. And, man, Auburn hoping that they, you know, lightning strikes twice with young transfers from LSU on the defensive side of the ball after what Xavier Atkins showed last year and still continues to show.
Absolutely. And it's just like I think about the, you know, admittedly the spring too. Like we didn't hear all that much about him in the spring, you know, and you never know, right? But usually if someone's doing pretty good, they eventually come up a little bit. So you didn't really know. So that's
He was a highly touted recruit.
Right, exactly. That was the thing too. So you kind of wondered. I don't think you could completely write anything off that early for anybody, but it's great to see that he's in that rotation, and I'm curious to just see what the progress has been over the next couple days.
Oh yeah, yeah. The other thing that jumped out at me was Jacob Strand at left guard for the ones.
Mm-hmm. That's because I had kind of, I guess, in my mind from what I'd seen at practice anyways, I'd kind of put him in the tackle category. Like I didn't know that.
Yeah, a couple of people had told me he was working at guard. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen, but when I'd seen him line up, he'd usually been there at tackle. But I know he's a guy that, you know, before he was at Auburn, he played both guard and tackle.
Okay. Well, and that, I mean, the one thing I did think about seeing that O-line was like that looks like a first team O-line. Like, I don't know. It was kind of like, just that rotation, because that was what they were running with the ones.
That's also
as well.
An experienced bunch.
Yes, yes. And still, I think, I don't know why it didn't click for me until, I think it was honestly first couple practices of last week, but I just had it made up in my mind that Stanton Ramil was your blindside protector. And so it's like, it's kind of a, I haven't even fully digested it yet, but it's a good looking
Stanton's
group.
Your right guy right now.
Right,
I mean, there's
absolutely
no question. Joe's, oh, goodness, hit the mic. Joe's the left tackle, mm-hmm. and Stanton's the guy on the right.
Mm-hmm. And Cole Skinner at right guard, too, because mm-hmm. I guess it's pretty safe to assume Cole Best is your starting center.
I think that's about as safe.
Not up for much interpretation.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned it a couple of times in the first hour. I mean, guys we saw out there today, I took it more as sort of a kudos to them for showing enough to get an opportunity to work with this group, as opposed to, man, we've really been struggling there, mm-hmm. and we've got to look at somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. It has not felt like a pessimistic vibe, certainly in that regard. I mean, up to this point, and it's, yeah, I mean, these are the guys who have been achieving. You know, I thought it was interesting too. At running back, it was I saw a lot of Bryson Washington, mm-hmm. with both those rotations, and you know, didn't wind up talking to him today. We were talking with running backs, but I saw another kind of glimmer for him, especially after last week. I think it was he only missed one practice last week, right?
Yeah, and it happened to be one time when we were out there watching.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I figure everything's smooth sailing. But, yeah, saw a lot more of him today than you have of late.
And Larry Porter sounded pretty pleased with what he'd seen from Bryson here recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it sounds like, I mean, I, you know, because it was one of those things going back and reading up on it today after the availability, like I think I had honestly forgotten just how dinged up he was in the spring. Mm-hmm. You know, Golish said after the spring game, they had only really had him at full health for the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, yeah, getting him in shape, I don't doubt that maybe he's had to catch up a little bit. But, yeah, you're right, Larry Porter, like, I sounded very pleased with the returns for sure. I wonder what that's going to mean for Mabson, though, you know, as far as the pecking order, because
– I don't know. It's hard to imagine he's going to drop much because, again, I mean, just the way everybody talks about him. I mean, Larry Porter talks about just he never takes a day off. Mm-hmm. I mean, how he his work ethic and how he doesn't take a day off. And I was walking by when the running backs were hitting the sled. Did you see those guys?
I don't think I was over there for sleds.
Oh man. Well, they had that sled, and I think Ferg said it's 350.
Okay.
Is what the sled is. And the first guy I saw hit it was Omar, and I mean, he hit it, lifted it, and pushed it 10 yards. Just like. Bam, and there it went 10 yards. And then the next guy got up and hit it, and it didn't move.
Yeah.
And he had it up a little high, and Omar's encouraging me, you got to get down, got to get low. And he did and was able to move it about 5. I didn't see any other back move it more than 5 yards.
Man.
And Omar just shoved that thing 10. So, I mean, he just appears to have the strongest burst of any of them. So I can't imagine – I can't imagine him not being utilized in some capacity this fall.
That's just such an exciting prospect. In the literal sense of he is a very young sort of prospect for the future, mm-hmm. but like just the potential that kid carries. I mean, the intangible too of, you know, coaching these kids along, like that's to have that at what he's only 18,
yeah.
right? That's
yeah. Gully said he just turned 18.
Man, that's a nice thing to have in your stable of running backs here for a year or two at least.
Yeah, Larry Porter's got a pretty decent situation there. I mean, and it's one, you know, so I asked him, mm-hmm. you know, after Gully said 3.5 and Joel Gordon says 4, I asked him how many. He said the whole room.
Yeah.
Well, sure. You want to have everybody ready. But, I mean, that's very impressive to have 5 guys mm-hmm. that have already shown, and then you're starting to hear some things. You're starting to hear some Alvin Henderson.
Yeah. No, hearing that with special teams today, because that's one of those things where – you know, I will say when I saw that was on the docket today, I mean, my mind immediately goes to like, okay, the return team. But I think it was Brian Matthews who asked about it. But just, you know, who else has been standing out? And had him right there in the mix. I think what was the other one that stuck out to me along with Alvin was Scrap Richardson.
Scrap. He jumped right in there with Scrap about how he's fast and, mm-hmm. and tough and mean and –
that's got to be a perfect spot for a guy like him who's, you know, only 1 year in and changing positions. And again, I mean, to hear it for Alvin, like I think that's a big thing because he's somebody who, you know, I don't doubt that he still has all that talent in there. He just hasn't had the opportunity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you look
at the depth there at running, because Tay Meadows gets mentioned, I mean, mm-hmm. you look at the depth at running back and at safety and the talent there is in the linebacker room. Yeah, that's something that a special teams coach is just, he's licking his lips.
Absolutely.
At guys like that can get out there and be able to get downfield the way these guys can.
Yeah, and I mean, just to have that experience, it's such like, I don't know, I think those are such premium like kind of X-factor positions where like, the more you have anywhere, right, the better you are. But that's one where it just takes you to a whole other level. And I mean, this is the perfect example, as you usually think of it at the top, but you're like, okay, we go down to the bottom of the rung here, the bottom of the stable, and these guys are just, you know, really capable and able to give this team what it needs on special teams. Like, that's how you go to that next rung. So it's, I don't know, like, a lot to look at in the special teams periods, the next few practices.
Yeah, I mean, something that I was talking about a little yesterday, and I felt it was reinforced again today when I'm looking out there is, you know, this team, as we've talked about, may not have the top end talent, mm-hmm. but I think the depth is so much better when I look throughout the team, mm-hmm. position by position. There are more guys competing that have an opportunity to play without there being a huge drop off.
Yeah, I think I see it a lot of the same way. I mean, that's kind of been the tune for a lot of the pecking order on the defense. Is it's not necessarily like whether or not you have what you need. It's just a matter of who is going to be what you need for a ton of those spots. And I feel like defense just has that in spades, top to bottom.
Especially if a Buddy Mathis or somebody mm-hmm. like that can step up there on the interior to go along with, you know, you've got Dallas Walker and Cody Sigler who have tons of experience there, but some of the young guys can step up. We've seen flashes from Darian Smith, mm-hmm. and Malik Autry and Jordan Crawford are just extremely large young men who I think have a chance too.
I was looking at the breakdown today of just they were doing indie drills, and it was like I admittedly, like, I had not gone back and, like, looked at the breakdowns, but just from what you saw, it looked like standard kind of D tackles and straight up nose tackles. Mm-hmm. And Malik is working with the D tackles, and, you know, he's done a lot of work to get his body into a different shape and different mold. He's talked about it, but he still is just so much bigger than all those guys. Like, he looks.
But it's just like you've enlarged your picture.
Exactly.
I mean, he's an obvious 330. Right. Pounder when you look at him.
It's just the sheer frame that he carries. Mm-hmm. Like he's still like he looks, you know, he looks like a guy who is taking the steps he needs to go into like another year after being a freshman in college, but he just on the optics of it, you walk by and you're like, I can't believe he's not with the nose tackles, you know?
But he's leaner than a lot of nose tackles.
Absolutely. But he's just, you've got that size and you've got that, I don't know. Like you said, it's the depth of that spot where you've got you know, Darian Smith, Buddy Mathis. I mean, to see Malik Autry take that jump, I think a lot of people are expecting that and anticipating something like that. But
I guess he's gonna. I guess he'll have that club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I did notice that today. I didn't realize. Like, is that is he is this a Champ Anthony situation like last year? I don't know.
I don't know. We've seen it. I mean, it's been out there pretty much this fall. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so got that going for you. I guess we might learn.
Yeah, probably will tomorrow from Bontrell. Mm-hmm. May get a chance to talk to him. I mean, usually what's cool is when we're talking to the position coaches, we're getting some of their players.
It's been a nice setup. It just kind of like it's good to like keep a focus on one thing and go a little in depth a day at a time, so to speak. But yeah, we should be getting a few of those guys tomorrow, and surely like Malik's got to be one of them.
I would think. But yeah, we'll find out. I mean, there's only so much time to get everybody. One other guy that was out there with the first bunch today that people had asked a little bit about was Arliss Boardingham.
He was
out there with the first group on offense.
That's. I don't know, just going back and reading up on his couple years at Florida, it was just like, man, the fact that it, you know, I know it was injury, but just you go down to the G5 and don't even get a chance to put more on tape. Like, I wonder what's going to be in store, especially seeing that today, because I think Jake Johnson got out there for a glimpse. Mm-hmm. Not that he's not still, you know, one of the top guys
in
that room.
Yeah, Jake is right now their surest guy there at tight end.
Yeah, I wonder if you could get a point where, you know, the way Golish talks about that room, it's like, I don't want to say they're not all gadget guys, but like they all seem to fulfill a very specific purpose. But I wonder if you could get to a point where you had two of those guys, you know, where you could maybe you could lead with either one of them, so to speak, and they could give you multiple of those options.
Well, I think they'd love that.
You'd love to see Arliss Boardingham come into, you know, that significant of a role, because that just That feels like a game changer you haven't even necessarily fathomed, you know? Haven't gotten there yet, but be a cool place to get to.
Oh, yeah. We're just underway here in hour number two. Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser, along with Bill. Drew at the controls. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
War Eagle. Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser here in the studio with Drew at the controls. So, Adam, just... quick update on what you've got there at the Advertiser, and again, if you know what you want to let folks have an idea what may be on, you know, coming up.
I mean, in the first place, like, I know I was talking about what was coming up a lot last week when we talked about this, and I hadn't even acknowledged, like, yeah, there's that whole fall camp thing coming up too.
Yeah,
and there's been I don't know. It's like I said earlier. Having a coach and the players in the same day, just it's a pretty great way to keep the main thing. So there's been a steady stream of day in, day out content over at our website, MontgomeryAdvertiser.com. And then I know too, just some of the stuff we've chatted about before as far as looking ahead. The SEC coaching staff experience data, just, you know, I guess we're figuring out a few things about how to, you know, dole that out and move forward with it. But like, the one thing I will say is it is all finally crunched, and Auburn is really, like, I think they have an argument as the most experienced coaching staff in the SEC.
And a lot of folks would be very surprised at that.
It's, and like, I, to be honest with you, as I was sorting through all of it, and I got like after their staff, you know, to the other ones, I was just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not really sure. But the thing was this. I broke it down in terms of total experience, Power Four experience, SEC head coach, and primary coordinator.
Coordinator. I was going to say, I don't know of a school, I just can't think of a school that has more guys who have coordinator experience than Auburn has.
Auburn is second in the league in coordinator experience, and that doesn't, I calculated total and average. It fluctuates for some, didn't fluctuate for that, but the one thing that like kind of stuck out the most to me was in every experience category, they were in the top half of the league. No other staff in the league was set up that way. And some of them, you know, it's like, I mean, Vanderbilt's is really interesting because you've got I always think of Jerry Kill. Tim Beck has more total experience than Jerry Kill does, which I hadn't realized. Texas right now, having Will Muschamp in the fold, like they've got a really nice staff. But Auburn's just like, it's the way it averages out. Like that's the thing to me that's interesting is just on average, the way this staff is set up, a lot of experience handling responsibility and things that, you know, probably don't show up in a stat sheet, but, you know, probably make a ton of difference in the little logistical things you don't always see day in, day out.
Well, I mean, Alex Golos loves, I mean, he talks margins mm-hmm. and, you know, anything. And then that's something that's very important. Look, where he's been at USF, mm-hmm. anything you can to try to make yourself a little more competitive. And that's exactly what he's looking for here at Auburn. So I've been impressed. I like these opportunities where we have a little more time, mm-hmm. where we're not having to bounce back and forth between mm-hmm. Assistants and things the way it has been sometimes in the past too.
Yeah.
So I feel like you get them right there too, right after practice where they're still fresh on this, and you know it's not just coming into a room on an off day or something.
And not only are they fresh on it, like I think the thing that's super nice is, you know, I get to hear each of them say it like in front of me. It's not that I have to go back and like either read a transcript mm-hmm. or listen to an audio recording that I maybe wasn't there for. That's the one thing I've really liked about it is, like you said, not only is it fresh for them,
I get to see them too. Yes. Sometimes hearing or reading doesn't tell you, mm-hmm. Not so much coach. It's almost like, when Omar Mabson was asked about Byron Brown today,
yeah. Yeah.
The expression mm-hmm. told me as much or more than his quick response.
Yeah, he only said, was it four total words?
Yeah, it wasn't many.
But, like, you kind of just knew from,
He almost, like, chuckled under his breath about, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one.
No. So it's, I don't know, it's been a great, that's been a really nice setup. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed that a ton.
So did I knock you? Did I give you enough time to talk about what you've got?
Absolutely. That's kind of the big stuff right now. I mean, it's really all football, you know. And of course, like I think I saw it's 25 days till kickoff as of maybe yesterday or today. But mm-hmm. still, like it's one of those things where in the next week, if you don't realize it, if I'm not realizing it right now, which I'm realizing. Good bit of it, like you got to start kicking it into gear for, you know, stuff ahead for games and whatnot. And so, you know, pretty busy right now looking ahead, but pretty busy right now with a lot going on too. So all right, football.
So we'll go ahead and get to the burning question of the day.
Okay.
How excited or disappointed or does it matter at all about the team pictures? I mean, my goodness, that's all I heard. All, you know, when I turn on any show, you know, before we came on the air, this is the first I've mentioned of it today.
Okay.
I was waiting for you to come in to give me your thoughts.
You know, man.
Look, I
think the guy who posted it, he technically had a point, like he did.
Well, I think it does go to show,
yeah,
continue to show Alex Golish's attention to detail.
Right. I think people get too worked up about the stuff, but that is a very fitting point. I think I've been laughing at it more than anything, but you're right. That's the thing is, like, everybody who could crash out about it in the replies, whatever, like, the most, like, quote tweeted aspect of it I saw was, you can feel however you want about it, but like he's got a point. Like it was very noticeably different.
Oh yes.
I will say that. Which is
It's very different from what Alabama's team pictures looked like, you know, in the past.
I haven't gone and done that much research. I guess I need to
you can look at pretty much any of Nick's team pictures.
What was his last year?
Well, it was 3 years ago.
Okay.
So 23. I don't know that I saw the 20. I remember the 23 picture, but I mean, pretty much Alabama team photos with Nick Saban look like your standard team photos.
Yeah.
Of teams, and if they're not in numerical order, they're in some kind. There's some kind of order to them.
Huh. It was just that was the one thing where it was just like, man, like I didn't think. That was my biggest thought, was I didn't think you could make a team picture look that, like, just you kind of tilt your head, you start squinting a little bit. Like, I feel like I'm in an art museum. I didn't think you could do that. That was my biggest takeaway. You do make a good point. Like, it's, I did see somebody quote tweet it and say that was all thanks to Taylor Bryan. I guess, because the SIDs do, like,
oh, yes.
I've heard George Nunnally, like, there was one time him and I were talking after a practice, and he was like, I got to go down there and organize the team photo. But somebody said that was a credit to Taylor Bryan. So, There's another point we can make. I think we've got three good points here. Shout out Taylor. I do think this is very much, it's a feather in the cap of, yeah, like attention to detail and things of that nature in the program. And then I don't know how you can make a team photo feel that abstract. I don't know how you can do it, but somehow they managed to do it in Tuscaloosa.
Maybe they're just, they're looser.
Yeah, guess so.
I don't think that's not going to necessarily translate into wins and losses.
Yeah.
Although there will be some people now, if things don't go as well, mm-hmm. they'll say, see, we told you, you're not as serious about it.
We're going to be seeing the team picture again in November. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Let's get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got a half an hour to go. Love for you to join in. I'm sure you've got some questions. We were able to watch about a half an hour or so today. We'll get another opportunity tomorrow. Watch them in full gear before they scrimmage on Friday. We'll talk about the importance of that. And some of the guys that, you know, we may not have been talking about a week ago when we come back here for the final half hour of the Wednesday Drive. The Montgomery Advertiser with Drew at the controls here on the this Wednesday edition of the show. Let's see, I'm wondering, Adam, if there have been any guys that over the last few days, we talked about a couple of them. Here in the last segment, mentioning some of the players that we were watching today. This is the time, especially when they get into when they go into pads, and the next few days are going to be extremely important to work their way and trying to assure that they're in the playing rotation, if not the two deep, for them to get out and show what they can do when they go in full gear. I mean, we've heard, you know, coaches say, and it's obviously the case that, you know, you won't know about linemen until they get the gear on, and this is going to be very important for both sides, and I think those are the areas probably of the most concern on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it's just one of those things where it does feel, you're very right. I guess the next step is wondering about what changes from here, but I think on the offensive side of it, I think it feels, at least that first string feels relatively solidified. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably still going to be some change on the interior, but I think your bookends and your, like, you know, your center, those feel pretty solidified.
Right. As long as they're healthy.
And then I don't want to say it seems, you know, I don't think it's all the way open-ended on the defensive line, but I just don't think it's been spoken about in the same sense of how solidified it is. I do think the pieces are there, though. It's I think Cody Sigler is right in that equation. And then after that, like, the level of certainty kind of trickles down less and less. But, like, I'd imagine Deshaun Womack is in there in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, today we saw Deshaun Womack and Jared Smith mm-hmm. on the outside with the first group.
And that, to me, is where it kind of gets interesting with that, you know, that –
which one is lines, which sometimes?
Outgroup, right. Yeah. It's like sometimes they switch up and it just looks complex. And then there's other times where it's like, you know, I wouldn't have necessarily even anticipated Jared Smith being on that first group. I'm not shocked that he is. And that's mm-hmm. that's just kind of the thing with it, is I don't think it feels as solidified. But maybe it's, I don't know if you'd call it a credit to it or it's just a byproduct of DJ Durkin's defense. But, like, I mean, you remember the first depth chart we got last year,
oh, yeah.
right?
Or.
Like, there's not – I feel like DJ Durkin thinks about defense in a playbook in terms of hockey. Like, you know, there's more so waves to
I mean,
it.
He's – yeah, he's got 25 to 30 guys
yeah.
that he's counting on. Mm-hmm. That he hopes to be able to count on game in and game out. Now Nate Johnson wasn't out there today.
Did see that.
So I mean, he's a guy that obviously figures in there on the outside.
Mm-hmm. And I wondered too. I guess we didn't, you know, it didn't get talked about after practice today, but whether or not that was a health matter of, like, Jared Smith sliding in for Nate Johnson. Mm-hmm. But I just think that's one of those ones where, again, like, you know, we talked about Buddy Mathis earlier, and not in that opening rotation today is a bunch of young guys who are on that second level, and it's It was Malik. It was Jordan Crawford.
It was a big bunch.
Very
big. It was
like
four guys that I usually feel like are interior, with the exception of maybe Darian Smith.
And then Joe Phillips was out there too. Mm-hmm. Saw him and saw J.J. Falk a little bit in that second rotation. And I know Joe and J.J. are kind of more edge rushers, but still, I just think that group is – it's again that kind of thing of you don't question whether or not you have enough. It's really just a matter of like who it is, you know. You've got what you need. They just have to figure it out for themselves. But yeah, it's I don't know. You feel relatively solid, even if it doesn't feel finalized.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you've got DJ Durkin and you've got players that have been under his system for at least a year, and quite a few of them have been in it for a couple of years, you feel like. You ought to be pretty good on that side of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's a major concern right now. I think it'd be a surprise if you were talking about it as an area of weakness or a big question mark a week or two into the year, you know. But there's still, I guess for what it's worth, that doesn't mean there isn't stuff to figure out as far as those particulars. But you feel like you've got the pieces from what you're looking at.
And yesterday, Tim Banks, you know, talking about six guys, and he's got the bodies. And the numbers to be able to have six, but the flexibility of them all being able to play, you know, basically free, strong, or nickel,
mm-hmm.
is really nice. And not really knowing that, I don't guess it really matters which one's where. I mean, when you've got any three of them out there.
I think some of that comes down to, like, you know, because he talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the, you know, a little bit about the matchups. I will say the one thing that's maybe not so much about the matchups, but just have noticed the last 2 days, the only one who has been working both like with the safeties and corners has been Champ. So that wrinkle fascinates me. Like, I wonder how much we're going to see him out on the boundary, but the matchups thing, I wound up writing about Eric Winters a little bit yesterday, and I thought that already it's like, okay, this guy, you know, he's always looked almost out of position in a way, but he looks out of position because he just looks too big to
be a safety. He looks like a linebacker back
yes.
there at safety.
Did you realize that he's lost like 5 pounds technically since last year? He was bigger.
Was he
in terms
220
of
last year?
Yeah, and he's 215 now, but that's one to me that's really, you know, Tim Banks said it yesterday, but he's like, you could have a mismatch in the slot if that's somebody who's having to block him in the run. Like, you've got a guy who, I mean, presents the size where you can get it from a safety position of coming down and trying to cover a tight end if you need that. Like, I'm more attuned to Eric Winters now. I'm intrigued to see where this goes for him, because that could be, like, you're talking about a defensive weapon at that point in terms of that multiplicity to me.
Yeah, that's a luxury of riches there. Corner is going to be the interesting. You mentioned with Champ working at corner, that gives them a fifth guy.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I feel like that they feel like they can count on right now, because we looked out there today and it's Gavin Newsom and Blake Woodby
mm-hmm.
are the guys that were out there first today, mm-hmm. and I think that's to just see how they react.
Yeah,
you know, with those other guys that are ones and against the ones on offense.
I will tell you, I mean, a guy who we weren't talking about, I mean, going in, you know, I guess a little bit after Tampa, because he did get a name drop from Golish before media days, but Gavin Jenkins,
yes,
that was not, you know, he was one of those in the USF contingent where I was like, okay, like it's got to be a potential thing, and maybe you don't see it this year, but I guess
you're going to see him, and
you're going to see him a good bit.
Man, just watching when I've gone back to the far corner and watched the corners working. His ability to quickly backpedal and turn mm-hmm. at that length is really impressive.
The size that he presents, it's like it's a little akin to kind of what I was saying about Malik Autry earlier. It's like he's absolutely, you know, capable of playing that position. Like you said, the body control, the flexibility to be able to do what he needs to do, but he's just looks so much bigger. It's very like Legion of Boom era, you know, defensive
yeah.
back. Shades of Cam Chancellor. And he was what? He was a safety too. I don't mm-hmm. think he was on the boundary. But yeah, that's a fascinating prospect to think that you could have that kind of length out wide.
Yeah. So I mean, those are some things that'll be interesting. But when you talk DJ Durkin's defense, I don't think it's not as important
mm-hmm.
who's at the top.
Yeah.
Because I mean, any of those guys that. and I'm sure we'll, I don't know. I mean, maybe Golish doesn't like the or whatever on a depth chart, but I think you're going to see a lot of them, and it doesn't really matter, you know, who's the first one out there.
Yeah, no, it really, I don't think it does. Like I said, it's shades of hockey philosophy, it feels like, of rotations, and, you know, it's a lot like the, you know, I forget exactly how it's summed up, but like Stephen Pearl talked about it last year. It's not necessarily about the first five who start. It is in a lot of ways. Like you look at the numbers, whatever, but like you really need to look at the final five.
Yeah, who are the ones out there when it matters the most, right, when the game's on the line at the end?
Exactly, and that's, I feel like, the philosophy that you really get into with this defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's very interesting to see, and we'll see who else. But yeah, Jenkins is a guy that there's no question has. I think he's caught just about everybody's eyes. I thought it was cool today. It's always great when you're over there and you see some of the folks that are coming in and able to watch. And today, when Coach Dunn's on, you know, we've talked about getting him over there, and I know at times it's a little difficult because he's cooking, getting the barbecue ready in the middle of the night and things like that. But he said, hey, this time actually isn't bad for him. So I was checking with Taylor and Jairus McIntyre today to make sure that we get Don over there. So I want to get his eyes looking, mm-hmm, at, you know, when we're talking about interior defensive linemen, mm-hmm, but somebody who was there today was a longtime assistant coach, Philip Lolly.
Okay.
Was over there today, and he was talking with a bunch of folks and went in. And the only thing, as he came out and was telling everybody goodbye, he said one thing that caught my attention when he was just asked about, because on the way in he said he's heard so many good things about how things are going, and he really likes what he's heard and everything he's read. And that's the same thing Don, mm-hmm, has said. And then Philip on his way out said, the first thing he was asked, well, what did he think? He said, they're downhill. They're, yeah, really playing downhill. And he meant, he was very positive about that. That's something that he'd heard and he was hoping to see, and that's what he saw.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, I mean, they always, what I feel like, and even Bronowski today used, you know, violent, like that's,
yeah, man, that's
that is a common buzzword, you know, and it's very much just like, I don't want to say it slipped in there. It's not understated. That's not a very understated word.
No, it's not.
But it's just, you know, it's just like it's just a piece of the vernacular, you know. It doesn't come with much intensity. It is simply a matter of fact. You know, they want to play violent, and I think that's, you know, it's nice to hear there's some perspective on it that can mm-hmm, very much confirm, so to speak. So
yeah, when you get, you know, somebody who's been a part of it for decades, and that's one of the things that his guys were known for, mm-hmm, coming out and saying that very much reinforces that it's not just talk. But I mean, again, we're looking forward to seeing it here in 25 days or so, and hearing about how things go in the scrimmage on Friday. That's going to be a very important scrimmage, because I would expect there'll probably be another full scrimmage late next week, maybe next Friday or Saturday, maybe, since classes are going next week. But I would think that'll probably be it as far as full scrimmages are concerned. Once classes get started and you get closer to the season, you have some scrimmage situational scrimmage type things like that, and a good bit of 11-on-11, but not anything like we're going to get here Friday and then I would think next week.
Yeah, no, I'm very intrigued to just hear what the initial like takeaways are from it, because these things always seem to be like, this is where this is always the point where things kind of turn, you know, week by week in the preseason.
Oh, you get ebb and flow, and the defense, mm-hmm, has got the upper hand, and you expect the defense to have the upper hand in the spring, and you really expected the defense to have the upper hand this spring when it was so many guys that were familiar with what DJ's doing. Mm-hmm. But I think, and I've told some people this, that you know, Byram has said, and I really think it was good for Byron Brown to face that DJ Durkin defense that wasn't holding anything back,
mm-hmm,
you know, wasn't trying to take it easy on him, so that he'd build his confidence,
mm-hmm,
like we heard last year.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was very much like the question Golish got at Media Days of, you know, this tempo, like, how does that impact your defense. And he's like, it's the best thing for him. They're playing the highest tempo offense every day in practice. Like, this is going to get him right. And it's also
really good for your quarterback, right, as long as it doesn't break him.
Absolutely.
You know, to be going against the defense that's throwing everything at you like DJ Durkin defense is, because you're going to see that week in and week out in
exactly.
this league.
Exactly. That trains your mental in a way that it's hard to get otherwise, you know? So it's iron sharpens iron is such a cliche, but I don't know of a less cliche way to say it than that, but I think it's going to have that kind of impact. And so it's going to be interesting to see the ebb and the flow and what the pulse is at the end of it all.
Oh yeah. All right. I think we need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time. If you'd like to join in, 334-321-1390, Bill and Adam, as we wrap things up here on the Wednesday Drive.
At Opelika Power Service,
382-7502, or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser. Want to talk a little basketball. Before I get to that, did see player that we had thought might be, if there was a possibility of Auburn adding a player that was looking for a fifth year, Trayvon Mitchell.
Yeah.
As I said it a while ago, I probably teased people a little bit. I said he will be there in Atlanta for the opening game this season. He's going to be on the other side. He's going to be a Baylor Bear.
Yeah, that's – I guess this has all felt like a toss-up outside of the, like, you know, the Keyshawn Halls of the world, like of these athletes. Mm-hmm. Obviously a different sport, but – I didn't know how, like, you figure if he's going to end up anywhere, it's probably Auburn. I didn't know where he'd end up beyond that, but I saw that, I think it was after we got back from the practice window this morning, and I was like, I guess, you know?
Well, they needed help on the defensive line. Mm. I mean, he may start or you know,
man,
be a primary guy, because they don't have any experience or depth there on that defensive line, and that was a huge problem for him a year ago. So, I mean, I can see him looking and saying, yeah, I got an opportunity to step right in and get a lot of playing time. And he at least he's familiar with what's going to be going on the other side of the ball with Auburn's offense under Alex Golish and Joel Gordon.
That's going to be an interesting wrinkle, but knowing that's 2 years of just no experience, youth, like that.
Yeah.
Auburn might run the football a little bit.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. I think they want to run out of the football against Baylor. I would sure think so.
Well, they did it a ton last year, and it seemed to work just fine. So,
yep. Let's talk a little basketball. I mean, Auburn over the weekend goes to Greece, goes 1-1, wins going away in their opener. They were up about 25 or so going to the fourth quarter, and then sort of called off the dogs there in that fourth quarter, only scored 12 points, but on their way to a 92-71, I think, win, and then dropped a 70-68 decision to the same team over the weekend. But as I told a couple of folks that have asked me about that, look, they went into the they went into that those two games without four players on their roster, and then Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton didn't play an awful lot in game two.
Yeah, I think it was Kevin Overton didn't play. It was either the final half or the final quarter, and then Tahad only played the first quarter. I think he had tweaked something that was described as kind of minimal, I think more precautionary, like could have gone back in, but they didn't want to risk it. And so, yeah, they were that's six potential rotation guys at that point who aren't playing. Like, they were – very, very thin. It came down to the buzzer, didn't it? Like,
yeah, it did.
Caleb Williams, I guess, put up a three and didn't go. But, I guess on paper, never looks good to split. But I think that second result, like, that's – you look beyond on paper and you're like, oh, okay. Like, that makes enough sense, you know.
Steven didn't from the quotes, didn't seem terribly disturbed.
Yeah, and hopefully.
I mean, I think he liked the physicality that they went up against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which especially just seeing some of what you're looking at box scores mostly, or the occasional highlight on Twitter, but there were a couple things to take away from that, and you know they weren't necessarily going up against a slouch. Like, I think they got some pretty good competition. Like, some interesting things to take away from that, which, you know, we're still a little ways away from basketball and whatnot, but just some observations for sure to make.
Oh, I'm sure it was a great trip, great opportunity for the guys to all be over there and see what they saw and then have that experience and bond a little bit more before they come back and hopefully, you know, should have everybody full go well in time for the start of regular practice.
Throwing some plates and stuff. I think that's what they posted on social media. There's a second in there where Steven does it and it's pretty funny. So that's something to go look for, some evening viewing if you like.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, just great to be able to get mm-hmm. get that chance to go and see, you know, a different part of the world.
Absolutely. It looked like, just from what you saw on social media too, I think they were just kind of hanging at the pool cliffside, you know, looking over some water.
Yeah, that was a little bit more of a vacation than what some people have made out from Auburn, hanging out at Grand National.
Yeah, no.
At night.
I mean, Mykonos, it's no Grand National. That's what they say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no kidding.
I wish they would have maybe chartered a media plane. Who knows?
Yeah, no kidding.
That would have been pretty nice.
I might have chipped in a little bit just to get there. One more time, Adam, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that you got going.
Yeah, absolutely. Fall camp coverage and everything else, you just head to MontgomeryAdvertiser.com and click sports at the top and click Auburn wherever you see it. You're going to have everything you need. And whether it's Twitter, TikTok, just search at Cole Reporter. That's my last name, C-O-L-E, and the word reporter. And you'll be able to find me wherever you're looking for me on social media.
All right, man. Always great to have you in, and I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah, see you then.
All right, we will be back tomorrow and talking about, you know, what we see on day two in pads, the day before Auburn's first scrimmage. Justin Ferguson will be in tomorrow, so hopefully you'll join us. That's going to do it for the Wednesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.